Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some fantastic anchor teams from the past and newscast members. And who were your favorites? And if you were to put like a dream team together of a couple of anchors, someone to do sports, maybe an entertainment reporter, someone to do the weather from the past. And it doesn't matter. You can mix and match time periods and you can mix and match networks and stations. We're just going to be talking about some of the classic newscasters in this city from years gone by. 312-981-7200. The reason I bring this up is because Ron Majors, after 51 years in television news, including more than three decades as an immensely popular and respected anchorman in Chicago, he is going to retire. He's 71. He will sign off on May 25th. As anchor of ABC7's top-rated 5 and 10 p.m. news weekday casts, newscasts, according to the announcement by the station. I've been a night worker in television all my adult life, Major said. It's absolutely it's time for a leisurely dinner and maybe a movie or maybe some theater. His plans to step down voluntarily were first reported by Robert Feeder in February. No hyperbole necessary to describe Ron Majors, John Elder, president and general manager of ABC7, said in a statement. He is simply the best. We thank Ron for his unrelenting pursuit of excellence and for all he has meant to ABC7 and our Chicago viewers. We will miss him. Alan Krzyzewski is going to take over, a 34-year veteran of ABC7 who will co-anchor with Cheryl Burton at 5 o'clock and Kathy Brock at 6 and 10. And a replacement as the 4 p.m. anchor has not been announced. So Krzyzewski is 55. He joined ABC7 in 1982 as a reporter and then moved up. But Ron Majors, just a legend. One of my favorite newscasters of all time. And if we were, and one of the things that we're doing here is to put together, like I said, some of our all-stars. And you can mix and match from station to station, network to network, time period to time period. Some of your favorite weather people, some of your favorite sports people, anchors, people who would do commentary. 312-981-7200. I remember when I was growing up, there was loyalty to certain networks and to certain local news broadcasts. And I think a lot of people in the city felt that way. I think there was this was the 5 o'clock news that we would watch. This was the newscast we would watch. Wouldn't be like one night you'd watch Channel 5 and the next night you'd watch Channel 7. There was a definite loyalty, at least when I was growing up, there was a definite loyalty to the newscast that you would watch at 5 and the news that you would watch at 10. And 312-981-7200. We'll talk about your loyalty and some of the classic news teams and some of the people that we can pick. And, I got a list here of some names that we'll pull out of from the past that some of us have probably forgotten. But 312-981-7200. Now, Dan, when you were growing up, did your family have a loyalty to a certain newscast or did you flip around?
We were Channel 5 people, so mm-hmm. it was kind of one of those things where I was old enough to become aware of all of the, these people were doing a job was so, actually around the Jerry Springer incident.
Oh.
So we would watch Ron Majors and Carol Marine, and then when they decided to retire, I'm like, well, where are they going? Why is this happening? And then I found out about it, and so
yeah.
I remember that.
So that was when they hired Springer to do commentary
right.
on Channel 5 News. So we're talking about, we're talking about this retirement of Ron Majors, which was announced this week. So that was the guy that you kind of grew up
right.
watching then,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he was our 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
for sure.
Ron Majors and Carol Marine.
Yep.
They were fantastic together. They were great together. Did you get to see Chicago Tonight?
I did
not. Inside Chicago?
I did not.
Yeah. I haven't seen it either, but it's the first time they were at an anchor. They said, Carol Marine said, it's the first time that we were at an anchor desk together in 20 years.
That's awesome.
Which is astounding to me that 20 years have gone by since they were together. You know? It's crazy. Now, Esmeralda, when you were growing up, did you guys have a 5 o'clock and a 10 o'clock?
We are Channel 5.
Was it, right?
Big Channel 5 and then the Spanish news.
Ah, okay.
Univision. Not Telemundo. No,
we're the
Univision family.
Where all the weather women are unbelievably hot on Telemundo?
Yeah, Univision, not so much. No. I mean, they're okay looking, but they're not the tight dress.
Right, exactly.
Looking.
Well, Telemundo, every woman on Telemundo is hot in every field. Like everything that every show that they have, they have like spectacularly hot women on there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, you're a Univision family.
Okay.
And Channel 5.
Channel 5 and Univision. So Channel 5 then for you, what, Ron Majors as well?
Yeah, Ron Majors, Carol Moring, Allison Rosati.
Allison Rosati. You got to love Allison Rosati.
Although mornings, I would watch the WGN morning news. I remember being in high school and getting ready and watching that.
And watching the morning news, the WGN morning news. That is, you know, and I'm not just saying this because there are you know, our sister station, and I know a lot of the people that work. That's the best morning show on television.
Totally.
I mean, it's not. I don't even think anything comes close to what those guys do.
Yeah, when I used to watch it in high school, I'd be like, I wish I could work there.
Isn't it?
I mean, just thought it was the best. I still would. It'd be great to work there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I love those guys. Seriously. I think that morning show, the crew that they have on that morning show, even Marcus Leshock, who I believe, doesn't he still go, as we said before, he goes by jet. They pick him up in his private jet.
Right.
And they pick him up and he flies over. No, everybody, I'm not kidding. Marcus is a great guy. You know, Marcus used to be a regular on my show. And he would come in, this was when he was working at CLTV only, and he would come in with two cameras, and we would do bits on the show. We would always talk about, he would come in live after award shows. And then we'd end up, you know, he would edit the stuff together. Hardworking guy, man, right out of the gate. And he's doing a great job on the morning show. But everybody on that morning show is great.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. You know, we're going to construct a dream team of people from different stations. But if I had to take just one full swoop, it would be those guys.
There's no question about it. There's no question about it. And the chemistry that they have, and they can be really funny, but they also, when they need to be serious and report on a story, when there's breaking news, it's great. It straddles that line between being like loose and funny and also we are doing the news. This is a serious thing. And that's one of the things that I think makes the Channel 9 Morning News so special.
And as people who've done a six-hour shift, we can appreciate what a huge, huge, huge amount of work that is.
For those people who might not know, this shift that I'm on right now used to be from like 11 to 5:30. What else, Dan? 12 to 6.
12 to 6.
12 to 6 it was. So, and it was, you know. And it was Steve and Johnny did it for a very long time, and it was a long shift for two people. So you know what they have to do, you know, let alone one. So now, Esmeralda, you were about to say something?
No, I was just going to say that they're funny and they're able to do the funny and the serious. And sometimes you go to the other stations and they're a little stiff or like weird, where they'll try to do jokes and you're just like, oh,
I know.
I was like, we're trying to be buddies with each other. And it's like, ha, 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 ha. And it's like, no.
It is really, it's fantastic. The chemistry that they have, you can tell that they love working with each other, you know, and they have a really good time. And of all the people, I've met everybody who's been on that morning show. And, you know, they're all great people and they're all very cool. Obviously, the one I know the most is Dean. I've known Dean, you know, Dean for many, many years. And I hear stories from Dean about how great it is to work there. And, you know, you can tell just by watching these guys. And I really think that I love Robin Baumgarten. I love her. I just think she is just the bee's knees. I just think she's fantastic. I really do. And, you know, one of my favorites. Now, that's another little subcategory. You remember Steve Dahl used to do news babes? He would do the news babes. And like talk and rank the babes on the news broadcasts. And, you know, this was back when Deborah Norville was like she was like the main, like the massive news babe, Deborah Norville. You're probably too young to remember, Esmeralda, like when she was locally, when Deborah Norville was locally.
Right. I don't remember that.
Yeah. She dominated the news babe category. And her and Joan Esposito, they were like, huh? I had a thing for Linda McLennan. I had a major thing for Linda McLennan. You know, when she was on with Lester Holt and Linda McLennan were a team on Channel 2. And I was like, I had a massive crush on Linda McLennan. That was like, the only reason I watched the Channel 2 news was because of Linda McLennan. Because I had such a, oh my God, did I have a crush on Linda McLennan. She was a babe. And I thought she was just hot. I remember one time we were at Taste of Chicago Okay. And you know how all of the TV stations and radio stations and stuff used to broadcast from, they would all have their tents and everybody would have like a little station, and a lot of people, TV shows and radio shows, would broadcast live from the Taste. This was a thing that they did every year. So Channel 2 had a big setup with a big tent, and they had like risers, and they were doing live broadcasts from there. And we were there, and we had been like at the Petrillo Band Show. I can't remember who was playing, but somebody was playing at a concert. We were at Petrillo Band Show. We'd been there all day. We ate a bunch of food, and we drank a lot. So I had had a lot of beer, a lot, and so I was not feeling anything. And I went up, and I remember I went up to the Channel 2 thing, and I'm like, "Hey, where's Linda McClinton?" And they're like, "She's up there. They're broadcasting right now." And I'm like, "Where? I want to meet Linda McClinton." And they're like, "No, she's busy right now." And they're just trying to humor me, you know, when in fact they should have called security and had me punched in the mouth and carried off. And so I'm like, "No," and then I start going, "Hey, Linda McClinton." You know, my friends are like, "Nick, come on." I'm like, "No, I want to meet Linda McClinton because I love Linda McClinton." So, but I just remember really being annoying. And I think they gave me like a bumper sticker and said, "Get out of here," like a keychain and a bumper sticker. "Here, take this and get and leave, drunk ass. I love Linda McClinton." So, all right. I've got some anchor teams from the past here. We've got a list of a bunch of people who have been part of our TV news. And there are some legendary old school. I'm talking guys like Joel Daly and Fahey Flynn. Because when I was a kid, a young kid growing up, it was all Channel 7. All Channel 7. And then we switched over to Channel 2. Bill Curtis, Walter Jacobson. So we were a Channel 2 family. But when I was a kid, it was all Fahey Flynn. It was all Channel 7.
And then can I say, like, when you go to any other city, when you're just visiting and you watch the news, is it just me or does it always look second rate compared to our stuff?
Oh, I agree.
It, like, their backgrounds are, like, just look really, like, cardboard and stupid. I'm like, this is awful.
I get it,
ours is so much better.
I agree. All right, what do you guys think? Newscasts and news teams from the past, 312-981-7200. And let's put up some nominees for Dream Team, like the Dream Team from any time, any network. Put them all together in one room, and that would be your Dream Team. 312-981-7200. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday. Don requested for Wild Card Wednesday, "Fool on the Hill" by Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66. That was a smash hit for them. Yeah. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are talking about Ron Majors is retiring. One of the legendary news anchors that this city has ever, ever seen. And that's what we're talking about. Some of our favorite news anchors and some of our favorite dream team. If we could put a dream team together, who would it be? And here are some anchor teams from the past. In the very first dual anchor team, I was not aware of this, was on WGN. In 1965, Chicago's first dual anchor team was Gary Park and Jim Ruddle. Gary Park and Jim Ruddle, the first dual anchor team in Chicago. And I mentioned Fahey Flynn and Joel Daly. When I was a kid, those were the dudes. Bill Curtis and Walter Jacobson, they had several different incarnations. I think they started it says here 1973, and then again in 85, and then again in 2010, they reunited. Those guys were legendary. Jane Pauley and Floyd Kalber from the 70s on Channel 5. Rod Majors, Linda Yu on Channel 5. Rick Rosenthal and Pat Harvey on GN. Walter Jacobson and Robin Robinson on WFLD. Marianne Murciano and Bob Surratt. Who were they? John Drury and Diane Burns. Lester Holt and Linda McClinton. Warner Saunders and Allison Rosati and Larry Potash and Robin Baumgarten. So those are just some of the news teams from the past that we mentioned. And, hey, Dan, that video of
Jackie Bang and Robert Jordan.
Yeah, Robert Jordan and Jackie Bang, where they like are doing this routine between commercials. Esmeralda, have you seen that? Have you seen that video?
I have.
Isn't it unbelievable?
It's adorable.
It's awesome. Yeah, Robert Jordan and Jackie Bang. So, all right, 312-981-7200. We got some notable people here, and we got texts coming in. So here we go. Let's see. 815 area code. Two of my favorite broadcasters of all for all teams would have to be Fahey Flynn and Harry Porterfield. Oh, Harry Porterfield, the best. He was great. 708, Bill Curtis and Walter Jacobson. 630, I like Jane Pauley and Lester Holt. Donna says, how about Lee Philip Bell, an important pioneer in local news and national programs? All right. Now, what about some of the other categories? Like, who? Weatherman. Now, Skilling, please. I mean, for me, right now, it all begins and ends with Skilling. I mean, come on. But growing up, for me, it was John Coleman and Harry Volkman. Those were my guys. So what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. We'll go through some of the Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 9, and Channel 32 people and maybe put together that dream team. 312-981-7200. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday. You know, Dan, how we were talking last week about the most prolific decade for one-hit wonders being the 70s. Boom! Right there. Looking Glass. How many other smash hits did Looking Glass have? That song rules, by the way. 815 area code requests Brandy by Looking Glass. But that is a prime example of the insane proliferation of one-hit wonders in the 70s. Good God. Did they even release it? Did Looking Glass even release an album? Or did they just go, just release that? We don't have anything else. Just release a ka-single. That's all. They didn't even have ka-singles then when Brandy came out. Ka-singles were an 80s invention. So, all right, there you go. Brandy, Looking Glass on Wild Card Wednesday. Okay, we are talking about favorite news teams. Ron Majors is retiring, and he was just the best. And so we're trying to put together a dream team and talking about some of our favorite and remembering some of our favorite news people. Hey, Dan, do you think you can find some audio of Len O'Connor? I'm pretty sure you can. And I'm right now in this facility where we are, from the newsroom to the traffic department to Dan's little hut to my studio. I'm the only one who remembers Len O'Connor. That's just going to be a fact. Dan, do you remember Len O'Connor?
I do not.
Okay. Vic, do you remember Len O'Connor?
You know, I didn't grow up here, so I didn't watch.
Oh, where did you go? Where are you from?
California.
What part?
San Joaquin Valley area.
Oh, all right. How long did you spend in California? Your whole childhood?
Yeah, up until early teens when I moved away. Late teens.
Late teens.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I do have some favorite local news people though that are now national. So Bill Weir.
Oh yeah,
I'm a fan of his, and I've learned that he's started out in Chicago.
Right.
I think he was a sports guy,
right?
And then for Channel 9, I believe, and then Lester Holt. I'm always a fan of his.
Lester Holt got to was lucky because he got to share the news desk with Linda McLennan.
I've heard you have.
I guess
a little. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Esmeralda, do you know who Len O'Connor is?
I do not.
Okay. Do we have? Did you find a little audio?
I am trying to find some stuff suitable for air. The audio is pretty rough.
Oh, yeah. I don't. Yeah, because, I mean, Len O'Connor, I don't know the exact years that Len O'Connor was on the air. But he was Channel 9, Len O'Connor. And he used to do, like, Perspective. I am Len O'Connor was his thing. And so he would do like he would do commentary, Len O'Connor commentary. I am Len O'Connor. I don't know if he was just on Channel 9. He may have been on another channel as well.
I'm seeing WMAQ.
Oh, Channel 5. Okay. Why did I think he was on? Why did I think he was on Channel 9? Maybe he was on Channel 9 at some point.
It seems like a lot of these guys bounce through a lot of places.
Yeah. I think that goes with the territory. Yeah, Len O'Connor. But he wasn't really a news guy. He did like commentary. You know? So, all right. Well, let's look at some of the people that we have from... let's start with WGN, shall we? WGN. We'll make a list here. All right. Bob Bell. You guys remember Bob Bell? You know who Bob Bell is? You know, of course, know who Bob Bell is.
Did he do anything besides Bozo? Was he also an anchorman?
I think he was. He was an announcer, anchorman. A lot of these guys were. They did like triple duty, these guys. Man, if you just talk to Orion, you know, obviously is a legend. And, you know, these guys would do like 10 different jobs. They would announce, they would do news, they would announce something, then they would do children's shows. They would just be all over. Like Ray Rayner did everything.
Can I say I'm a little sad that Bob Bell was under clown makeup because he was a handsome fellow.
Bob Bell, good looking guy. Yeah. And the best bozo. Bob Bell, the best bozo. So. All right. These are former on-air staff WGN TV. Tom Brenneman. Well, he was with the Cubs. We used to call him Brennemanson because we wanted to add like a stupid... a syllable. We wanted to add a stupid syllable to his name. So we would call him Brennemanson. Jack Brickhouse. Roy Brown. Now, Roy Brown, you know who Roy Brown is, right? Cookie. That's Cookie. You know, Cookie would always get the pie in the face. Bozo, you know, you think Bozo at one point is going to get a pie in his face. He never did.
No, he's Bozo.
It was always Cookie. Cookie would always get the pie in his face.
Poor Cookie.
Not even Huizzo would get the pie in the face that much. It was always Cookie.
Always the bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Never the bride.
That's right. Cheryl Burton. Chip Carey, Harry Carey. Bob Costas, Joey Diora. There's Joey Diora. He was another bozo. Well, I mean, he played bozo. He wasn't. And there's another bozo. John Drury. Milo Hamilton. Hey, I'm Milo Hamilton. Pat Harvey. Roy Leonard is on this list. The great Roy Leonard. Vince Lloyd, Ned Locke. Now, you know who Ned Locke is, right? Ringmaster Ned from Bozo. He was the man. I was always like, when I was a kid, I was kind of afraid of him. Of Ringmaster Ned, because I was always like, if I were ever got picked to do the grand prize game, which I never did, but if you got picked to do the grand prize game, I would just picture him like between balls. He'd be like, "Hey, hurry up, kid! I ain't got all week." That's just like under his breath.
He kind of looks like Ned Beatty. Is that just me?
Well, his name is Ned. They all look alike.
All Neds.
All Neds look exactly alike. Allison Payne. How about Allison Payne? Loved Allison Payne. Randy Salerno. Oh, Randy Salerno. He's a great guy. Don Sandberg. Keenan Smith. Roseanne Tellez. Harry Volkman. Bill Weir, as was just mentioned.
Bill Weir also had a movie made about him.
Bill Weir had a movie made about him?
Yeah, he would. Well, I mean, it wasn't like direct, but
he was inspired by him.
Yeah, it was a movie set in here, Chicago, with Schwimmer and Jason Lee, and they there was a love triangle.
Kissing a Fool?
Yeah, I think Kissing a Fool is based like the screenwriter. I think was watching WGN TV one morning, saw Bill Weir and how charming he was. And, like, constructed this story about what would happen because David Schwimmer plays a sports reporter.
Is that right?
Wow.
Why did I remember the name of that movie? What the hell's going on in my brain that I remembered the name of the Jason Lee David Schwimmer movie?
Because it's Jason Lee.
Probably.
Well, that, okay. You know, you had met Schwimmer on the set of Friends when he created
it. Well, sure, when I created it, I told him, you know what? In fact, I told him about Bill Weir. That's how it all started. I was like, you know, one day, you know, you should watch this guy, Bill Weir. Maybe they'll make a movie about him and you'll be in it.
I didn't know that he's on CNN doing, like, Anthony Bourdain-like adventures.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Oh, yeah. No. He's big time. That's the one That's the one that Vic just mentioned.
One of the ones that Vic just mentioned.
Mike says, how about Mike Jackson and Jori Luloff? Oh, Jori Luloff. Yeah. 815 area code for weatherman, we'd have to go with Roger Treemstra. He's the man. Roger is a cool dude. Can I just explain? Treemstra rules. You know, I've been around this station for a long time, so I got to work with a lot of really cool people who've been here for, and Roger was just always a great. Oh, here's a good one. 815 area code for sports, Brent Musburger. Brent Musburger rules. He rules. Hey, speaking of sports, what about Johnny Morris on Channel 2? Johnny Morris was the king. We had a lot of good sportscasters in this city. You know?
I think you have to.
Yeah.
So much sports.
How about Gene Greco? Gene Greco rules. Did he ever have to report on Greco-Roman wrestling? Did he just go, hey, Gene Greco-Roman wrestling?
Did you ever hear
Greco
the story?
Greco on Greco?
What?
Do you ever hear the story of how he got his last name, how Gian Greco came to be?
No.
It was Jimmy the Greek, like, kind of over time became Gian Greco.
What?
So, like, his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a guy named Jimmy.
Yeah.
And they referred to him as Jimmy the Greek. And over time, Jimmy the Greek became
Gian Greco?
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all.
I mean, people with last name Baker, because, you know, it used to be, you know, John the Baker or blacksmith, things like that.
I'm sorry. I don't understand that at all. That's how he became Gian Greco, because it was Jimmy the Greek? Where did you hear this story?
He joined Waddle and Sylvia on ESPN 1000. It's one of their commercials.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Was his last name the Greek for a while? And they're like, that's too much. We gotta mush it together.
Don't we have to do weather?
Yeah.
You were regaling us with that fantastic Jimmy the Greek Gian Greco story.
That stuck in my head for like years, and I finally get a chance to say it.
Oh my God, that is the greatest story I've ever heard in my life. I thought it was going to be like a really, because I'm thinking to myself, well, how did he get Gian Greco? Well, it's his last name. That's how he got. It's not like, you know, he was Biffy the Snowman or something. It's like a real name.
Biffy the Snowman?
I don't know.
What
was
that?
It's a snowman that I named when I was a child. I don't know. Oh, man. Mark Gian Greco. Mark Jimmy the Greek. So that's his actual Mark Jimmy the Greek. Okay. Oh, man. All right, we have to do the weather and the traffic, and then we'll come back and start remembering some of the other news teams and news people and so on and so forth right here on 720 WGN. Yeah. That's from Jasmine, who is listening to us right now. She is a frequent Fly Jams contributor. She requested Bow Wow's Basketball. Now, is that Bow Wow or Lil Bow Wow?
No, he's just Bow Wow now.
No, I know, but was that song Lil Bow Wow?
Probably Lil.
Or Bow Wow?
It was Lil.
Okay.
Also, one of his albums was at the Antique Mall, so FYI.
In case I want to go to get the new Lil Bow Wow album.
Sure.
Yeah. And you didn't purchase Let Me Love You Down.
Sorry. I'm sure it'll still be there.
I don't even understand. It's not going to be there, I guarantee you. If they had 6,000 copies, they'd be sold out of Ready for the World. Don't underestimate the power of Ready for the World.
That's sure. Everyone's going to flock there now, because I told them.
Exactly right.
Everyone's been looking.
Oh, look who we have on the phone. You want to talk about legendary broadcasters. Max Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Max.
Rascal, I just had to give you a hard time this morning.
Well, why?
Because your memory is amazing. It astounds me. When I'm in the area and headed to the studio, our television show that Orion and I do.
Yes.
I'm always amazed at the stuff that comes out of the recesses of your brain. But,
but I knew, I'm sorry, Max, I'm sorry, but I knew the big butt was going to be in there.
But.
Yeah.
However, your Len O'Connor imitation was far too precise. Len, I don't know what he had been like as a younger man, but the time I got to WGN, Len O'Connor did have those commentaries. You know, it was usually about government, the mayor,
right,
what's going on in the city, the alderman, or something.
Right.
And he mumbled his way through it. He barely moved his lips. And the last phrase, as you tagged it too precisely. It was, O'Connor. And you could barely understand what the guy was saying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I was doing too good of an imitation, Max.
Yes, you were too precise.
Too precise.
Matter of fact.
Yeah. But that. Now, so you remember Len O'Connor? Thank God.
Oh, I remember him well. And he had been at WMAQ, as I recall. He had been at Channel 5 as a newsman.
Right.
But in the waning days of his career, he did these personal commentaries on Channel 9.
Right.
Now, those were not to be confused with the station commentaries, which were anchored by corporate vice president Alexander Field.
Oh, that's right.
And corporate vice president Orion Samuelson.
That's right. Corporate vice president. That's right. I totally forgot about that.
There was one week that Al Field was somewhere on the other side of the world, and Orion Samuelson was on the other side of the world. They actually had me, the WGN commentary.
Oh, they did?
Yes. Well, it was one week. It was like, you know, I did the lottery one week when Ray Rayner was out of town. One week in 1979 or something like that.
You did the lottery? You pulled the lottery balls, Max?
Yeah. You remember they used to do the lottery between Donahue and Bozo Circus once a week. It was only one day a week. It was on a Wednesday when
okay.
they did the Illinois State lottery drawing. This would have been about the second or third year that the lottery was underway. The Illinois lottery started, I believe, in about 1976.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And about 2 years, and Ray Rayner did the lottery drawing. Not in his jumpsuit. I mean,
And he didn't have Chelveston running around the room.
Chelveston was already taken back to the duck store. Chelveston did not live at Channel 9, just so you know.
I know that. He lived at, what was the name of the pet store? You would go visit Chelveston. Animal Kingdom?
They would deliver Chelveston to Channel 9 at about 5:30 in the morning. I would come out of the farm studio. You know, Orion would be in Beijing or somewhere, and I'd come out of the studio having done Top of the Morning, and there's Chelveston on the floor right next, right to the door in his little cage. And now now that the, you know, the statute of limitations is cleared, I would walk out of the studio and just give the cage a little nudge just to get jealous and ready for the morning of the race.
Just to get him annoyed enough to chase Ray around the room.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd flop her out of the cage a little bit and he'd be ready. And the stagehands, of course, oh, Lord knows what they were doing. I mean, it was an amazing team of stagehands in there in the morning. Johnny Dial and Big Mike Cusick. And it was these guys were just
and I remember I was lucky enough to interview Ray Rayner once, who of course was a childhood hero of mine. I grew up watching him, you know. But I was lucky enough to interview him one time, and he told me that Chauncey was not a real guy; that Chauncey was just the made up name that he had to talk to the crew.
Well, yeah, but he generally targeted that those comments at a stagehand by the name of Dave Abrams.
Okay.
And Dave was very very generous in his comments back to Ray off the set. I mean, he was, you know, he'd just be walking through the set and Ray'd be talking about something, and Dave'd say, "Oh, you don't believe that yourself, do you, Ray?"
Wow, that's fantastic.
It was great stuff. They had a great rapport.
Yeah. Hey, Max, by the way, I just want to mention congratulations on being inducted here onto the Walk of Fame. Well deserved, my friend.
Well, I don't know about it being deserved, but I'm very honored. I'm very thankful and appreciative and, you know, really enjoyed 31 great years full-time at WGN. And still, I'm just so much looking forward to the date next month to see folks I haven't seen in so long.
Yeah.
And a lot of those folks, of course, are behind the scenes. You know, Carol Hankner, who was so much a part of the station for so many years. Marilyn Miller, who was Polly Phillips' producer.
Yep. Marilyn, amazing person. It's crazy that now it's gotten to the point now where I've been hanging around this place long enough to all seven of the people that are being inducted, I have either worked with or have known. It's great.
Yes, you're getting to be an old timer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Well, Max,
talk to you. I didn't mean to intrude. I just wanted to correct you on your little comment.
Well, I appreciate that. And Max, it's not an intrusion. It's a delight. You can call in anytime you want, my friend.
All right, but I always enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, Max. Always an honor and a privilege to work with you. I'm glad that you're listening. And once again, congratulations on the Walk of Fame induction, and you absolutely, absolutely deserve it, my friend.
Thanks for your kindness, sir. Take care, and we'll see you another day.
Okay, buddy, take care. There you go.
All right, bye.
The great Max Armstrong. See, here's the thing. When something like that happens, you know, like Max Armstrong calls in, or we get like a text, you know, from someone in the business. I always go, oh, man, they're listening. You know, like somebody like me, somebody like Max Armstrong, who is like this incredibly respected broadcaster, been in the business for a really long time. Somebody that I have looked up to for many years, well before I ever got a gig here at WGN. He's listening to the show. And then I just keep thinking to myself, man, what? Then I get nervous. And then I think, well, you know, my show sucks. And these guys are listening. Max Armstrong is listening to this? What? Anyway, congratulations to Max on his induction to the Walk of Fame. Absolutely worthy. Okay, we got to take a break, and we'll come back and talk more about newscasting. I am very thrilled to hear from Max, though, that my Len O'Connor was pretty spot on. Just except that I was a lot more clear saying his name than he was. All right. News is next. Yeah, man. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich. Opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6. 708 area code requests on Wild Card Wednesday. Midnight Confession by Phyllis Dillon. I almost said Diller. By Phyllis Diller. How's it going, Fang? Ha, ha, ha! That's my Phyllis Diller. Pretty, Dan, you closed your eyes. You thought Phyllis Diller was in here, didn't you?
I did.
It's terrifying. Okay, we are talking about memorable news teams here locally. Who were your favorites? Newsmen, weathermen and ladies, and sportsmen and sports ladies. All of that stuff. 312-981-7200. And, let's see. Does anybody remember Wendell Smith with the 555 Sports and Night Beat. I remember, I don't necessarily remember Wendell Smith. I have a vague memory of Wendell Smith. But Night Beat, for me, was Marty McNeely. Marty McNeely was the Night Beat guy. Because Night Beat would come on after Creature Features on Channel 9. Creature Features would be on Saturday nights, and I would stay up every Saturday night and watch Creature Features.
I mean, Night Beat sounds like an appropriate name for something to come after Creature Features.
Yeah, it was a it was a news show, Night Beat. And I wish I could remember they had a theme for it, and it was like I can't remember the music, but they had a music, they had a theme. Oh. There it is.
On the beat, here's what's happening. A 12th OPEC nation has raised
now,
its oil prices.
Is that Marty McNeely?
Hiked its prices by 16
See, I remember Marty McNeely. That would come on. That would mean if Night Beat came on, that would mean I was up too late. You know, because my parents would be like, oh, you can stay up and watch. You can stay up and you can watch Creature Features. Because, you know, it was, you know, Frankenstein, Dracula, all the stuff that I loved when I was a kid. And then, like, but when Night Beat would come on and I'd still have the TV on, I would be like, oh, man, I'm up too late.
Did that strike fear in your heart?
No. Because my parents would be, you know, I think my parents most of the time were asleep. And I was, but I'd be, like, thinking to myself, oh, I'm up too late. Once Marty McNeely comes on.
I was expecting that music to be a little more serious. I don't know why.
Well, it's a lovely little theme for the nighttime hours. And if I remember correctly, Dan, do they actually show the Night Beat credits? It's like streetlights and cars and stuff, right? And taxis.
Correct.
I remember that it would come on like that was when I was. I just remember that I'd be up too late. Marty McNeely was basically when I heard the name Marty McNeely, or I saw the name Marty McNeely because his name comes up on the credits at the beginning. You'd see the name Marty McNeely, and I'd be like, "Oh, Marty McNeely's on." I'm in trouble. I'm up too late. Marty McNeely, maybe he did send fear into my heart. Marty McNeely.
Do you imagine one day he goes, I'm Marty McNeely. Nick DiGilio, go to bed.
Yeah, that's what I'd be. That would be the most terrifying thing ever.
Tonight's top story.
DiGilio, go to bed. I'm Marty McNeely. Now, I've never met Marty McNeely because, you know, I was like five when I was watching Night Beat and I was up too late because of Night Beat. But but by all accounts, and I've heard this from Orion, in fact, that Marty McNeely was a very, very nice guy and did a lot of work at the station as well. But that was always my cue to go to bed. I'm Marty McNeely. And be like, and the terrifying Marty McNeely. And he really does have a very terrifying name, don't you think? I'm Marty McNeely. Wouldn't you be intimidated by a guy named Marty McNeely?
I don't know about the Marty. If he's Martin.
Martin McNeely.
I wouldn't stick around.
He also did the poem that was read during the Creature Features. Beginning of Creature Features. He read the post. So he was scary. He was the terrifying Marty McNeely. Because he would read, there was a poem, for those people who remember Creature Features. They didn't do the poem every night, every week, but there was a poem that went along with the credits, the Creature Feature credits. So Creature Features would, you know, the Experiment in Terror by Henry Mancini was the theme to Creature Features. And so that would play, and then he would go, there are goblins in the house and running around with a mouse or something. I don't remember exactly, but it was a poem. Hey, Dan, can you see if you can find the Creature Features poem? Because that's Marty McNeely. I guess Marty McNeely was indeed a terrifying man. I can't remember the poem, but it was something. I'm not very far off. It's like, there's death coming here. It's a possessed deer.
It like in the intro? Or
yeah,
he
would read it over the introduction.
Like, welcome to Creature Features.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the Creature Features introduction was all these black and white clips from Universal horror movies. So it's like Frankenstein's monster going down the stairs, Dracula with his cape.
I'd imagine he'd be like a Vincent Price-esque.
I think that's what he was doing, an affected, scary voice, if I remember correctly. It was different than his Nightbeat voice. He definitely wasn't reporting on OPEC going, and now four OPEC members are dead. You know, he didn't. Here we go.
Dim the lights. Bolt the doors. But don't be frightened. That will come later here on Creature Features. Tonight, a mad doctor's diabolical torture machine means deadly horror for a beautiful girl. Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi horrify you in The Raven. Right after these messages.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That sounds cool.
Yeah, man. That's Creature Features.
Can they show that again? That sounds awesome.
That's Creature Features. I watched it every Saturday night my entire childhood.
I like that music.
That's Experiment in Terror by Henry Mancini. That's
digging it.
Oh man, Creature Features was legendary, man. Don't even mess around with Creature Features, and clearly don't be messing around with Marty McNeely. He will kill you.
After those messages.
After these messages. And then later I'll be on Nightbeat. Telling Nick DiGilio to go to bed. Nightbeat, man. All right. Here's a question from 815. Since you seem to know a lot about newscasters, who was the lady who used to do the 10 o'clock news, Channel 32, back before Fox got involved? She did the whole report by herself. Does anybody remember that? 10 o'clock news, because for me, 10 o'clock, there was no news at 10 o'clock on Channel 32.
Right, when was this?
It was like MASH and then Benny Hill, Sanford and Son, Honeymooners, all that stuff was on. I don't remember them having a newscast on Channel 32 at 10. Oh, does anybody remember that? 312-981-7200, pre-Fox days. Okay, we got a break here for weather and traffic. 312-981-7200. We're talking about legendary newscasters, news teams, and all that stuff. Give us a call or text us. We got some more texts coming in as well.
Bad to the ball.
Yeah.
Above 1,000 hearts.
Wild Card Wednesday. 773 area code requests Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood. Yeah, man. I always think of Christine, the car, when I hear that song. All right, Wild Card Wednesday continues. And let's see. Here is G on WGN. Hi, G.
Hey, man. How are you?
All right.
I'd like to throw a couple things at you if I can. First of all, just throwing together a perfect dream team anchorman, if it was possible, would have been Fahey Flynn and Lester Holt.
Yeah, those guys were great. Both of them.
And nobody's done more since they left Chicago than Lester Holt.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, and I am sure you are not old enough to remember this, but when I was growing up, there has never been better radio overnight than Chicago. Never, ever, never will be. When we had Jack Eigen, we had Sid McCoy,
mm-hmm.
and WLS and WVON were doing music. I mean, it couldn't get any better than that.
All right.
And I'm sure you don't remember Jack Eigen.
I don't. No.
But on WMAQ, he ruled. He did a live show I can't remember the name of the hotel, but he did it live every night. And I mean, it was incredible. And on WGN, and I'll let you go, on WGN, way before Harry Carey, any of that, when you guys had Cubs with Jack Quinlan and mm-hmm. Vince Lloyd on radio.
Jack Quinlan
and Lou Boudreau on radio. Jack Burkhouse and Vince Lloyd on TV.
Yep.
That was incredible.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that they would switch off. What a lot of people don't remember is that they would switch off TV and the radio part, guys. They would switch off, like, I think they would do, like, six innings. The TV guys would do six innings on TV and then three innings on radio and vice versa. They would switch off. They don't do that anymore. But, yeah, that was a long time ago. All right, G, thanks, man. Terry says, I remember Marty McNeely. Oh, Marty McNeely. The terrifying Marty McNeely. How about Floyd Kramer? Sandy and Glenn Ellen says, do you remember Hugh Hill? He might have been before your time. I remember Hugh Hill. 815 area code, what about crime reporter John Bulldog Drummond? He's a legend. That guy rules. And every movie that's filmed in Chicago, he's in it. Any movie that Andy Davis directs, John the Bulldog Drummond is in it. Like, he's all over The Fugitive. Bob Bell and Lee Phillips were married. Oh, I totally forgot about that. Bob Bell and Lee Phillips were married. Totally forgot about that. Here's Frank on WGN. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
You know, yeah, I got a couple of things to go over real quick. I'll lay it on you. Carl Grayson, I believe, was he drew the thing late at night after the 10 o'clock news, but it was repeated later.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one. I remember the lottery, I believe, started in 74, but I won a ticket. It was a Super Bowl playoff ticket, and I called up WGN just to make sure I had the right numbers. But there was only a drawing once a week on Friday.
Right.
And it was only $1 million, and they had to wait 6 months to accumulate enough money to pay the prize winners.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. And then we had the, way back was John Cameron Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
He used to say, how do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is John Cameron Swayze for Camel Cigarettes and Timex Watches. They take a licking and keep on ticking.
That's right. Well, the Timex thing was huge. And do you know that John Cameron Swayze is, I want to say, Patrick Swayze's uncle?
I wondered about that, yes.
Yeah, no, he's related. I don't know exactly. I want to say, like, uncle, maybe grandfather or something like that. But he's definitely related to Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. And, then you had, when he came on the other station, he was a cornet player. He played Dixieland music, Fahey Flynn. He goes, how do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Fahey Flynn with a note. You know, and then the other one with the commentary, Len O'Connor.
Yeah, Len O'Connor. We were just talking about Len O'Connor. Max called in about Len O'Connor, about his commentary. I'm Len O'Connor. Yeah. Terry says that, Carl Grayson did the news for WGN in the middle of the night. I worked at a men's clothing store in Randhurst. Carl Grayson bought his suits, shirts, and ties there, and I used to coordinate his shirts and ties for his suits. Wow. Terry doing a little coordinating. You know, that's always what Fred Sanford says he does. Did you know that, Esmeralda? That's how that's what he says he does around the, like, Lamont comes home from a hard day's work on the truck, bringing home junk and carrying stuff, and Fred's sitting on the couch or on his chair watching TV, drinking beer.
Coordinating.
And he's like, what are you doing? I'm coordinating. Who do you think is going to inherit this empire? I got to do my coordinating. Oh, man. All right, how about some Channel 5 names here? You ready? I'll fly down some of these names if you remember. Jackie Bang. John Coleman, and we mentioned John Coleman earlier. You know, John Coleman was the first guy to really mess around with the green screen. You know? Like, he was like, because I remember the green screen thing, you know, in the earlier kind of age of the green screen, Coleman would mess around like he would cut a they would cut a slit in the green screen, you know, and this, they would project whatever image is on the green screen, whether it's a map or like, you know, the an outside shot showing if it's raining or not, and then somebody would shove a stool through the green screen, so a stool would suddenly appear, and he would pull it out of the air or out of the green screen. I just remember John Coleman was the first, for me, if my memory serves correct, John Coleman was the first, like, wacky weatherman. You know, like, the wacky weatherman thing, that's a thing now. You know, is he, hey, I'm the weatherman, I'm going to wear an arrow through my head, oh, it's going to rain. That, you know, there were a lot of those dudes in markets all across the nation. Guys wearing umbrella hats. Oh, it's going to rain. Look at my umbrella hat. Hey! I just remember Coleman being like the first guy that was wacky. Like he would walk off set. He'd walk. He would not hit his mark sometimes. He'd like walk up to the camera, put his face into the camera, pulling stools out of the green screen out of thin air.
Was he sitting on them or what was he doing?
No, somebody gave him a stool and then he sat on it. But it, like it was, it came out of the middle of the... Like, you see the image of the map, suddenly a stool comes flying out.
How long are these reports that he had to sit down?
I think he just did that for effect. They just threw the stool in because he wanted to do it. Just to, all right, now look at this. Here's a stool. Oh, I'm crazy. But he was, like, one of the very first wacky weathermen, John Coleman. He was awesome. Awesome. Okay, we got a break. More news memories and putting together the dream team here. On 720 WGN, we got the news coming up. With you. Yeah, man. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Chris Isaac, Wicked Games from the 708 area code. Remember when that video came out? And it was like, oh, man. This is the sexiest video ever. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Couldn't tell which ones were moles and black sand. Or
yeah.
Black sand.
It's like, yeah, oh, man, that Chris Isaac video is the sexiest video ever. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking about some news people and that Marty McNeely is the most terrifying man who has ever lived. That's what we've discovered this morning. Sam says that Norman Ross was a heavy hitter. John says, who was the Chicago weatherman that made millions creating the Weather Channel? Jim Coleman. The Weather Channel. Bill says, my favorites include John Drury, Walter Jacobson, Floyd Calber, Len O'Connor, Joel Daly, John Coughlin in weather, Bill Frank, John Morris in sports. Johnny Morris was awesome. 630 says, I know I'm old when I remember the stations would sign off with the national anthem. Yep. That's when I was up real late. That was scarier than Marty McNeely. Was when they would play the Star Spangled Banner. I knew I was like, because it was Star Spangled Banner and then it was snow. I think your TV would go.
Now, would anybody say anything? Like your parents?
They would say it'd be, oh, my, oh, I thought you meant on
no,
TV.
No, not the TV.
Because they would say, it's the end of the broadcast day. And then they would play the Star Spangled Banner. And then,
but would anybody say anything, or you just had this fear of like, oh, no.
Yeah, my parents, they wouldn't yell at me. They'd be like, hey, you do realize it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm an only child. It was just me and my folks. And then when I was a real little kid, my grandmother stayed over a lot. And she would fall asleep on the couch, and she would my grandmother on my mom's side, my mom's mom, let me get away with anything, man. I just remember she liked me a lot, and she like I remember one time I was in the car, and my grandmother was in I was in the back seat with my grandmother, and I can't remember how old I was, because I was like 10 when she died, so I was really really young. I was like 9 or 10 when she passed away. So this is a really young age. And I'm in the back seat of the car with my grandmother, and my parents are in the front seat, and we're about to go someplace. And I said the S-bomb.
What?
I was like 5. And I said, oh, bleh.
Oh, my God.
And my mom went, what did you say? You know, like, oh, my, what did you say? My grandma said, leave him alone. I remember my grandmother was defending me because I dropped the S-bomb.
It would be great if then she says it.
Yeah, well, she might have.
No, I've, right there.
I've off. Yeah, she, yeah. Oh, come on. It's nothing. I'll tell you where I learned my most creative swearing from my mom's sister. My aunt Judy.
All in the family.
She totally taught me to swear. And like use words and put them together. Like that didn't like, you know, she would take like the F-bomb and put words to it. That's the first time I ever heard that and the word face.
She's a wordsmith.
Together. And I was like, wow, that's funny. I've never heard that before.
Your mind blown.
Yeah. And she swore, she F-bombs all over the place. That the poetry of vulgarity I learned from my aunt. And my, of course, my mother's thrilled by that. Then my two cousins, who were my Aunt Judy's kids, who I was really, really tight with, we all learned to swear from her. You know? She would try and curb it when my folks were around, mm-hmm. but if it was just me and my cousins and her, mm-hmm. blah, filth, flarn, filth.
You're like sailors.
It was fantastic. By the way, this national anthem thing I remember I went back to high school, mm-hmm. to my high school to, I was asked to come back by my favorite teacher, Miss Ann Rundio, by the way. I always like to give her a shout out. Miss Rundio, Ann Rundio, best teacher I've ever had in my life. Anyway, I went back, you know, she invited me back to her class. She was doing like a special winter class, film class, where she'd show a couple of movies and then they would write papers on them. Mm-hmm. And so she asked me to come in and speak at one of the classes. And I was thrilled because she was my favorite teacher ever. And I went in and she was showing Poltergeist.
Oh, man.
And this was 2012, maybe. So it was 2013, 3-4 years ago. So I go in and, you know, I speak to the class a little bit and we start watching it. And I don't know if you remember how Poltergeist opens. Do you remember how Poltergeist opens?
No.
Poltergeist opens with the close-up of a television screen and the national anthem ending. And then the screen going to snow.
Okay.
That's how Poltergeist begins. And then the camera kind of pulls back to reveal, you know, it's late at night, the television. So these kids in the class had no idea what was going on. We had to explain to them.
They're like, is this the Poltergeist already?
They're like, what is that? And we didn't even think of that. Miss Rundy and I didn't even think of that because we were like, oh, these kids have never known that there's no broadcast on television. There was a time when you couldn't watch TV, when everything was done for the day. And they didn't understand that. They were like, what? So we had to explain to them, yes, there was actually a time when broadcast television, they would not be broadcasting anymore. They would end, they'd play the Star Spangled Banner, and then poof, your TV would go out. And they're like, wow. They were completely stunned by that. That's weird. I may have to explain it to the audience that comes to see Risky Business on May 3rd at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont.
You think?
Because there's this. No, I won't have to. But there's a scene in Risky Business
where they do it.
You know, they're doing it in the chair, and the TV is playing, and the national anthem. You can see the flag, like the image of, because they all kind of had like the very similar videotape that they would use. Mm-hmm. It was mostly a flags waving, you know.
I remember seeing one where it was families.
Yeah.
Children running through a field.
And there's apple pies and stuff and soldiers and things like that. Very American images.
Patriotic.
With patriotic images with the flag, you know, unfurling and waving. And there's a shot in Risky Business where they're doing it after Lana shows up. And they're doing it on the chair and on the TV while the American flag is going. Now, that image has a much more significant meaning in the movie, the movie. It's not just, it's late at night and they're having sex. There's a reason why there's an American flag on the... it's ridiculous.
And to find out, you have to go to the
to find out, listen to my 10-hour analysis of Risky Business. I'm not kidding. I find meaning in every frame of that movie. I'm not kidding. I mean, that movie is so deep and rich. But that's one of my favorite images in the movie. So, anyway, That's May 3rd, by the way. I don't think we're going to have to change the date.
Oh, no.
We were concerned about the possibility of changing the date because of the Blackhawks schedule. I got a feeling we're not going to have to worry about that. So you can order your tickets now.
Oh.
May 3rd, risky business at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. All right, let's get a couple of calls in here. Here is Jay on WGN. Hi, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey.
Yeah, you were talking about a newscast show on Channel 32 back in the 80s, I think.
Okay.
And I want to say it's Night Owl.
Night?
I remember Joker's Wild, and then yeah, other shows like Benny Hill and stuff. Like
right, right.
And the only reason why I even found it was because I decided to look back and backtrack. I was on my site, and I had to get done doing an article, and I said, well, let me look back for something on Channel 32, and I looked for Night Owl, and I found it. And that's what it was. That was like the closest thing to the internet back then.
Okay, so they had a news show on Channel 32 after all those syndicated MASH, Benny Hill, Joker's Wild, all that stuff.
I'm 100% positive because I used to stay up and watch it.
Okay, Night Owl. Now, do you remember, because the person was asking who the host was. Can you remember the host, Jay?
There was no host. It was pretty much, it's like you'll see it come on like at 12 o'clock, and it's like it's an owl on a branch.
Oh, and, that's right. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Now I remember this.
Yep. It was sort of like the internet, but not quite. It was like
they would scroll news stories.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I totally remember this now. Whoa, it just came back to me.
Yep.
Wow. All right, Jay. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
All right, Night Owl. Now I remember that. And when he said it was like an owl on a branch.
Is it a real owl?
No, it was like a cartoon owl.
Did he have little papers in front of him? How cute would it have been if he had been reporting
if he
the
could
news.
Report the news. Aww. No, but he did bite through the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop. After,
that's the
after
news for the day.
One, a two, a three. Three. Okay, we have to break for weather and traffic. We got more news guys here to talk about, news ladies to talk about. Yeah. And I wonder if anybody had Harry Volkman come to their school. Harry Volkman was this great news guy on Channel 2. And he would go to all the schools. He would visit schools. And then every night on the news, he would have like a boutonniere from the school that he would wear. And then he'd plug the school. And he came to our school.
Did you have a freak out?
I'll tell you about it. Because it's Harry
Volkman. Can I know anything like when you're a kid?
I lost my mind.
You're like, ah.
No. It was unbelievable. It was not quite as insane as when Sven Gulli said happy birthday to me.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And it wasn't Rich Coes. It was pre-Rich Coes. It was Jerry G. Bishop.
Yeah, but that would, yeah.
I lost my mind.
I would lose my mind now if that happened.
Well, I can get Rich to say happy birthday for you. I happen to know, happen to be wearing a Sven Gulli t-shirt, by the way.
I'd be watching TV and it's just, what?
You know what? I'm not going to tell you, and I'm just going to have Rich say something to you personally.
I don't watch all the, you know what? I don't even think I get WCIU. For some reason, the antenna, one day it just disappeared, I'm telling you. I was trying to watch Sven Gulli, and it disappeared on me.
On MeTV. You get MeTV.
I don't know which channel it is, but it's the digital one,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it disappeared.
That's
I'm telling
not,
you.
That's
I know
not
it's
cool,
sad
man.
Because
that's
I want to
cool.
watch Sven Gulli.
You know who took it away? Marty McNeely. The terrifying Marty
You're
McNeely.
You're not.
You can't watch deserving. Sven Gulli. I hosted Creature Features, and I'm the terrifying Marty McNeely.
Poof, gone. Poof,
yeah.
But this game is over.
Yeah. So, there's a game tomorrow. Pre-game is at 8. The puck drop is at 8:30. Anyway, order your tickets for Risky Business. It's going to be on May 3rd at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Maybe I shouldn't have done the play. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say they're done yet because I said that when they played. You know, everybody goes back to it. And this is, you know, Detroit series 2013. Mm-hmm. They were down 3-1. They came back one 3 in a row, and they won. They won the series. That's what we're hinging. That's what we're hinging our hopes on right
now. We'll see.
Hanging our hopes on that. Just remember, Detroit 2013, Hawks down 3-1. They won that series. It could happen. Order your tickets now for Risky Business, May 3rd, the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. It's going to be a big night. MovieCo.com. And Mark wanted to let us know that Looking Glass did have another minor hit in autumn of 1973 called Jimmy Loves Marianne.
Great.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Well, you know, the sales say Brandy. That song is great, by the way, Brandy. We got to hear that
song,
Wild Card Wednesday. And let's see. Wild Bill says he wanted to say that Wendell Smith is a pioneering African-American in the news business. Yes, absolutely. No question about it. But I believe that, like, for me, it would be like Walter Jacobson, Bill Curtis. Got to put Linda McLennan in there.
Mm-hmm.
For weather, Harry Volkman and John Coleman together.
Can I say my jam has always been Mark Sapelsa?
Mark Sapelsa rules.
The Silver Fox.
Yeah.
Just going to throw that out
You know,
out there
he calls
now.
In here every once in a while. As
I know.
He listens to the show.
Makes me giggly.
Okay. He makes you giggly. Okay. I'm glad he's listening. He's probably listening right now. Sapelsa, you make Esmeralda giggly.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. Call in sometime. Give Esmeralda a thrill. Here's Steve with the opening bell coming up. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning. How are
morning.
You? You know, my favorite is Peter Jennings. Always will be Peter Jennings.
Yeah, well, we were doing local guys.
Yeah, local guys. Yeah. Skilling. You have to go with Skilling.
Of course.
Harry Volkman, mm-hmm. you know. But those are the good old days, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.